If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, and knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envying, strife, railings, and surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness and godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. Flee, follow, fight. We should appreciate such instruction and instructors that provide for us the right direction and good advice and godly counsel. For such is the nature of this inspired passage that we have here presented by God through the Apostle Paul. It is the teaching that should govern the manner of our lives here on earth. Now, the two books that were written to Timothy primarily consist of two elements. One, they serve as guidelines for those who preach the gospel. Timothy was an evangelist. Obviously, some of the book is addressed to him personally. Most of it, however, is instruction that is applicable to all who would attempt to preach the word. And two, the word that preachers are to preach to others, especially their brethren, are found in these books. Therefore, great portions of the text were written for the admonition and the edification of any who would go to heaven through Christ. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." So it is obvious that the words to Timothy were also words to which we must give our attention. Now the text consists of three divisions. One, there are warnings against teaching false doctrines and following after such things. Two, there are exhortations to be content with such as we have materially. We came into this life with nothing. We shall leave the same way. We are stewards of certain things which God has given to us for a while, and we are to take care of them and use them responsibly for the limited time in this life. We are not to strive for material gain and lose the soul. But three, there is a threefold instruction: to flee, to follow, and to fight. These three directives are designed as guidelines to direct and to govern our lives as Christians, dear listener. Upon these three things we're going to focus our attention in this lesson. Paul tells us in verse 11, "Flee these things." Now, the inescapable inference is that it's not always cowardly to run from some things. To flee is the action of wisdom and prudence. To flee can reflect common sense and good judgment and respect for what is right and good. We are to flee from those things that can destroy the spiritual welfare of the soul. In living the kind of life that the Lord would have us to live, there are times when running is the proper and wise course, and in keeping with the will of God for us. There are those things from which we are to separate ourselves, including people, as well as some situations. From what are we to flee? Now, this text concerns itself with money and the covetous grasp that many have for it. The love of money is described as a snare, that is, a trap. It is the devil's device to capture the souls of people who are not cautious. Like when one drowns in deep and dark waters, being overcome and losing one's life in the depth of the sea, so the love of money can overwhelm one into eternal perdition. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It feeds evil. People will commit almost any and every kind of transgression if they think it will pay them well in money. The love of money, both by the rich and the poor, has caused even those who have come to Christ to turn away and to follow Him no more. Now there are things from which we are to flee. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22 teaches us to flee youthful lust. We should run from those opportunities to satisfy passions that are so strong and so powerful, especially in the days of youth. We must learn to control them and not remain with these people and in those circumstances where we are tempted to sin. The physical body was planned and designed by Almighty God, and it ought not be used for the dissipation of it and the exploitation for sinful pleasure. Too many do not flee from such things, but actually they seek them out, daring the devil to ensnare them in transgression. Paul taught in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 18 that we are to flee fornication. This is such a prominent and promoted sin in our society, if we can believe the reports that we read and hear. There are so many evidences that more and more people have no respect for purity and moral chastity as God teaches people to have. The moral standards of American society have been lowered to alarming levels of base and degeneracy and publicly paraded before us as acceptable behavior and lifestyle today. But we read from the Bible that fornicators shall be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, Revelation 21 and verse 8. That would include you, friend, if you are a practitioner of such things. And like Joseph of old, when he was tempted but fled from the scene rather than sin against God, so should be our behavior. We're also told to flee idolatry, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 14. Now we're not to think that idolatry only consists of bowing before images of pagan and heathen worship or the statues of Romanism, even though such things are certainly included. Surely that is idolatry. But we can make most anything an idol. Whatever becomes between us and God and our dutiful service to God becomes an idol to us. Not only can such things be evil, but they could even be things that are not evil in and of themselves, but because we put them first in our priorities and our goals of life. Many things that could be a blessing to us can become our undoing and become idols that will bring our condemnation eternally. Now why flee these things? Well, the answer is found in verse 10 of the text, where Paul speaks of some being led astray from the faith and pierced through with many sorrows. These words were written to Christian people, and they serve as warnings to flee, lest it cost us our salvation in heaven. What an awesome price to pay for the paltry offerings of this sinful world. Now, we will have trials and tribulations in life without seeking them out, but we sure do not want to flirt with them. We should pray not to be led into temptation, and when we are tempted, we shall strive not to yield. Flee such things, for there is nothing to be gained in them, but everything to be lost. And then there is a second instruction. That is to follow certain things. What are we to follow? Well, verse 11, follow after righteousness and godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Friend, I suggest to you that these are traits of the character of Christ, characteristics of the divine nature. To be righteous means to be harmonious with the Lord's will in the way that we live. Godliness is reverence and respect for that which is holy and sacred. Faith and love and patience and meekness, these are qualities of the character of Jesus that we're to add to our own characters and our own lives. Peter teaches us to add these things, 2 Peter 1, 5 through 11. In living the Christian way of life, there's a time to flee from wickedness, which is a defense mechanism to help us to avoid sin. But there's also the positive side of being a Christian, because there are things to follow and things to pursue. We must go where the Master wants us to go. This is the nourishing, constructive, needful, and positive side of Christianity. We cannot live in a vacuum. We don't live in a void. Our lives will be filled with something, and they are to be emptied of evil and filled with righteous traits that Paul and others have listed here in Scripture. Now, a third instruction is to fight. That which we are to fight is the good fight of faith. See, let us see it as clearly now as we can. There's a time to flee. There's a time to follow. And there's a time to fight. There exists that call to do battle against the devil and for the cause of Christ, standing our ground no matter what comes or at what cost or what the consequences might be. Do you know that all fighting is not evil? There are those situations in life when a person must take a stand and fight for his convictions of truth, contending with all of his moral fiber for what he knows to be right and just, and not flinching in the process. The reason Paul was prepared to die was because he had been a fighter in his lifetime. In 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto me in that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing." Paul taught Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:18, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, that thou mightest by them fight a good warfare." Paul knew that being a Christian in a sinful world would necessitate a fight even to survive. And our fight is the fight of the faith. Now, we do not wage carnal warfare to promote or protect the kingdom of God, 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4. I wish it was that way with some other religions that seem they're determined to impose physical death and torture and punishment upon those who do not convert or remain faithful to their Mohammedan religion. Now, we are to equip ourselves with the armor of God so that we can fight as we ought. Ephesians 6, 11 through 13 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." And then Paul lists that armor as the armor of truth and righteousness, the gospel, faith, salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and prayer. With these we fight our battles. These are our weaponry. We ought never be ashamed of the truth nor afraid to do battle for the cause of right, using the armor that God has given. We are in the Lord's army, and Christ is the captain of our faith, Hebrews 2 and verse 10. We are indeed to endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Jude 3 says, "Contend earnestly for the faith once delivered to the saints." Paul said he was set for the defense of the gospel, Philippians 1 and verse 17. But friend, we do not defend, we do not protect, we do not promote the religion of Jesus Christ in a carnal warfare. Sometimes we hear people talk about the Crusades of the past, and how vicious, quote-unquote, Christians were during that time. There is no question but those that were involved in the Crusades were vicious and sinful and degenerate and deplorable in the sight of God. But that wasn't Christian. That was Roman Catholic. And there's a great variance between what is Christian and what took place during the times of the Crusades. A great deal of the strife that exists in the world today is man's memory going back to the battles between Mohammedism that fights a carnal warfare and Romanism that has fought a carnal warfare. Dear friend, that's not New Testament Christianity. Christianity does not promote and defend itself in such fashion as that, but rather we use the armor of God that we use to win the hearts and the souls and thereby the lives of people for Jesus Christ. But now with these three instructions, to flee and to follow and to fight, words that were addressed to one as a man of God, let us give heed to them as we rise and go forward toward the remainder of our lives to live for the way that the Lord has died. Flee evil. Follow good. Fight the fight of faith. To do less is to sacrifice our salvation for this world that offers nothing but sin and death when all is said and done. For each of us there will come that time when all will be said and all will be done. It goes without saying, doesn't it, that we want to go to heaven? The Lord's words serve as a lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. He pleads with all people everywhere that they be Christians. Having once heard, believed, repented, confessed, and been baptized into Christ, we must continue to abide in Him. And this we do as we walk in the light, as He is in the light. 1 John 1 and verse 7. So may we soberly, seriously, reverently, intelligently, prayerfully, consider and heed these three instructions: to flee, to follow, and to fight. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.